I want to say thank you to Nick, to Caleb, to all you guys for bringing your sons, because this right here is really what it's all about. It's about passing on to the next generation what would need be done amongst the brethren so that we can further the gospel. I don't want it to die with me. I don't want it to just be done. I want it to continue. And as I'm going through the fruit of the Spirit, you know, I got to looking. Obviously, we know love, joy, peace, long-suffering, which is my topic, gentleness, goodness, faith, meekness, temperance. And they all kind of lead into each other. Love leads to joy. Joy leads to peace. Peace leads to the long-suffering. Long-suffering leads to being gentle. Being gentle leads to the goodness. Goodness gives us faith. Faith gives us meekness. And then meekness gives us temperance or self-control with which we can operate. You know, and I got to looking. This was outside. Can you anybody tell me where 9 other things from the Spirit are? Anybody know? I only found one. There might be more, but there are 9 gifts of the Spirit in 1 Corinthians chapter 12. Words of wisdom, words of knowledge, faith, gift of healing, working of miracles, prophecy, discerning of the Spirit, different kinds of tongues, interpretation of tongues. Those 9 gifts of the Spirit, they don't correlate so much with the fruit of the Spirit, but they're all tied together because it's the Word of God. Someplace else I was looking, although it's not 9, is Philippians 4:8, right? Whatsoever things are true, honest, just, pure, lovely, good, virtue, if they have any praise, think on these things. Right? There's only 8 there, but I just was kind of going through and seeing, you know, exactly what other 9s would be out there, because 9 is the number of man, right?
No.
Truth.
Fruit.
Okay, so, that would make sense for the 9 fruit of the Spirit then. Boom, okay. So, long-suffering, guys. I'm going to try to do my best to keep it together because this is more personal to me than some other things. So, long-suffering is mentioned 17 times in the Bible. The first time is in Exodus 34:6, and if you guys want to turn there, we'll read this. You know, the law of first mention, it has a lot of import. And in Exodus 34:6, it says here that, "And the Lord passed before him and proclaimed, the Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abundant in goodness and truth." And if you keep reading in 7, it says, keeping mercy, let me get my glasses here, keeping mercy for thousands, forgiving iniquity and transgression and sin, and that will by no means clear the guilty, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children and upon the children's children, upon the third unto the fourth generation. Thank God we don't have generational sin like that any longer. We do have sin because we're born sinful, but we don't. Your sin does not affect your child if he does not allow it. It can impact him, but your sin, or your child or whoever, can rise above that through the grace of God. Thank the Lord for that, right? That it's not something that they carry. Last mention is in 2 Peter 3:15. And if you guys want to turn there with me real quick, just to kind of to get some bookends on this. A man's Bible who's worn out usually means his life is not. Remember that. So if your Bible's in tatters and in frays, that's a great thing. Okay? Remember, 2 Peter 3:15. And account that the long suffering of our Lord is salvation, praise God, even as our beloved brother Paul also, according to the wisdom given unto him, hath written unto you. So the long suffering of the Lord is his salvation to us. Right? It means, as Brenton and you guys have said, and I kind of went back to the Webster's 1828 dictionary, bearing iniquities and injuries or provocation. You're not easily provoked. It describes the quality of patience, enduring hardships, insults, or provocations over a long period. And I kind of thought about Samson, when Luke was teaching on Samson, how long suffering was he with his wife? I mean, finally he was just like, okay, I'm done with this. Right? It implies forbearance, patience, lack of being easily provoked, patience under duress. The adjective of that means patience under duress. The noun refers to the act of bearing hardships with patience. And I can tell you that as a lost man, I did so much to provoke the Lord in anger. I did so much to provoke the Lord's people out of spite and anger because I wasn't saved and I thought I knew and I didn't know. The only thing I knew was death. And I didn't even know that. But that was coming. Somebody pull Colossians 3:12 up. I don't care who. And read it.
Put on, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering.
That's what we are to put on, right? So that we can deal with people, with the world. You know, we can think of individuals here, and this list is definitely not comprehensive, but how long-suffering was the Lord with David? How long-suffering was the Lord with Israel? With Jonah? With Saul, who became Paul? With Peter? With Adam and Eve? With Cain? With Haman? I mean, the list goes on throughout every book of the Bible, how long-suffering God is with his people, and even his enemies. He would allow them the opportunity to repent or to realize what they were doing might not necessarily have been the right thing. Right? So 9 years ago, my wife, and by extension myself, had just endured the biggest, hardest, long suffering of her life, and therefore my life, because she is everything for me. She just came out of a coma that was drug-induced to try and save her life. Praise the Lord, she survived. And like a good soldier, better than I am, better than I was, better than I do, and she was not bitter, but she was patient, and she was long-suffering, and she was the best example for me as a confused individual who at the time didn't really understand all that was going on. But through that, the Lord allowed me to see so much more. 5 years ago, I had a picture that I wanted to put up on screen. And I don't know if you guys can see this, but 5 years ago, our church went through its own, our church, the world, everybody, went through our own long suffering. And I don't know if you guys remember this or not. I'm sure many of you do. Some of you may not, but 5 years ago in 1 month, this is what our church looked like. We didn't have people. We had paper faces because of COVID, right? So you literally had Bob Bickett, Ron, Ray, Diana Fugate, and me, and Sam. We were the only ones that were able to come into this building, right? We didn't know what was going on. So 5 years ago, our nation, the world, our church, or by extension, our church body, was going through our own long-suffering with the, I call it the Wuhan Red Death. I'm sorry, guys. It's just how it is. We did not know what was going to happen. But our leadership made the decision that we would praise and honor God and not be afraid of man's wrath. And we continued to gather, right? We did not take into account how man would expect us to react, right? Everybody else, oh, we're shutting down. We can't hang out around each other. You know, we craved that fellowship. We sought that. We made that happen. And for those of us that were not around at that time, you missed a great thing. For those of us that were, you experienced a great thing, right? We as a body have had our own endure long suffering. I count myself not among those, but I have. Men and women come to mind, like Jim and Ann Boyette, and Joe and Reet Sparks, and Gwen and Betty Arney, and Randy and Julie Foster. I think of our missionaries in places, and I don't know if I can say their name here now or not. I don't know, but I'm gonna. Pradeep, the long suffering he goes through. Doug and Bethany, the long suffering that they endure. Doug and Camille Howie, the long suffering that they are enduring. I mean, Ariane Vogley, the long suffering that they're enduring. Joe Hendricksman with the whole truckload of Bibles dumping over right there in front of them. I mean, that's long suffering. Because they knew that's God's word right there, and we're trying to get that to the people, and the enemy is saying absolutely not, but we're saying absolutely so. So no matter how many of those were ruined or muddy or dirty or destroyed, you know what they did? They picked all those up and they delivered those. They made that attempt by the enemy to destroy what it is their mission was and is. And they long suffered through that. And it doesn't necessarily mean when you hear long suffering that you're detracted and you're like Hezekiah who asked for 15 more years. Forgive me. You know, not that kind of long suffering in your bowels, you know, where, oh, Lord, just give, you know, more tithes, more, you know, Lord, I'm suffering. You know, long suffering is putting up with a coworker that absolutely cheeses you off, right? Putting up with a ministry co-worker that absolutely does not take as important as you would the ministry duties. I don't care what it is, mowing the lawn, playing music, serving the children, right? All of them, right? The Jims, the Joes, all of them have exhibited fruit of long-suffering. And were and still are an example to us on how long-suffering works. What's it say in Philippians 3:15? Mark that man, or 3:17, mark that person. You are to mark them, right? That's that person that exhibits those fruit of the Spirit, the peace, the love, the joy, the long-suffering. All those things lumped together, when you can find a person, a man or a woman of God that can exhibit those particular qualities, you want to mark that type of a person so that you can follow their example and that you can make them an ensample for how you are to act, right? And then you can give that example to somebody like these youth or your coworker or, again, we all have that coworker or family member or co-laborer in ministry or boss that we have to exhibit the fruit of long-suffering with, right? Or because of the fruit of the Spirit, of long-suffering. The behavior allows us, right? Their behavior allows us to endure without becoming enraged or upset or angry or complacent to say, well, okay, I'm done with that one. I'm not going to mention the word of God to this person anymore. I'm not going to talk about it anymore, right? Because I've already cast my pearls in front of swine long enough. I'm done with that, you know. God does not say don't. Our mission is to what? To take the gospel. Jason plants, Brenton waters, I water, Nick waters, Jeff waters, everybody waters, and then somebody gets the increase. No, God gets the increase. It might be 5 days, it might be 5 years, it might be a lifetime. But God would get that increase if we all do what we are called to do, right? To plant, to water, and to tell of. And we can do that. We can do all those things without becoming enraged. The fruit of long-suffering allows the believer to allow those to reap the consequences of disobedience, of not listening, or whatever the case might be, without lording over them. I can't lord over you. I cannot make you get saved. I cannot save you, but I can present to you the tools and the ability and the path with which you can walk so that you can know what I know. And that is our job, is to cast the seed. My wife, we just got I don't want to say an argument, but she's adamant about, why do you do some of the things you do? And it's because I'm called to do that. I'm called to spread the word to my lost coworkers. I'm called to constantly in an email to my boss, quote scripture. It might absolutely piss him off, but I don't care. Because that's what need be done. My lost coworker and my lost boss that does not know who the Lord Jesus Christ is needs to know. And if that means my last email to him gets me fired, but yet it has a scripture quote at the bottom that tells him this is where you can go or this is what you need to know, so be it. I hope it would never happen, and it hasn't happened yet. And I've been given great grace from my boss through Christ and through God, because some of the things that I do say and some of the things that I do warrant my immediate termination, because it's just not allowed to be talked about. You can't necessarily speak of those things without getting wrath or retribution from people. So again, the fruit of the Spirit, not just long-suffering, but long-suffering involved in this allows us to be able to have them reap the consequences of what they do without lording over them. Like I told you so, or like I said, ridiculing or mocking them. Instead, it allows us to love them, to show them compassion, to love them in spite of what they do. Because who did that for us? While I was yet a sinner, far from him, Christ counted me worthy, even before the creation of the world, and said, you are worthy to die for, because I know where you're going to end up. So we should have that same type of compassion. Mostly, we can use how long-suffering our Lord and our Savior is with us as the best and greatest example and ensample on how to treat people. And I'll finish with this. How long has he suffered my ignorance? How long has he suffered my unbelief? How long has he suffered my disobedience? And how long has he suffered my foolishness? Long enough for me to come to the knowledge of my sin. And long enough for me to understand that I am a sinner with no hope without him. Long enough to be able to confess with my mouth and believe in my heart that he was born, lived a sinless life, died, buried, and rose again according to Scripture. That's how long. Long enough to be able to confess with my mouth, like I said, that belief in him is where it's at. Long enough for me to be able to be one of those whosoever will. Right? That's how long his long suffering is and was for me. Long enough for me to accept him as my Lord and Savior. Long enough for me to grow in the knowledge of his goodness. Long enough for me to feel the burden to spread his message to others that don't know it. That's how long his long suffering is. He could take me out, could have taken me out multiple times, and I can go through the history of the times that I should have died, when I got shot, when I should have been shot again, when I should have died in a car wreck, when I was jumped by six Mexicans and should not have lived that. There are times when God said, hey, I'm trying to get your attention. Do you understand what I'm trying to do? But my mind would not comprehend it because he was the farthest thing from me. I didn't understand it, right? I was an ignorant fool. And it's the same with our children, guys. And I can tell you that this church takes very seriously the charge of having faithful men being able to teach other men also. Because without that kind of a deep bench, without that kind of attitude, without that kind of approach to life, these guys, our co-workers, our family, will never know the goodness of God. They will never understand how great it is to have a Savior that truly did love me enough to die on a cross for me long before I was ever formed in my mother's womb, right? I've been camping out in Psalm 51 and I've been begging him, Lord, create in me a new heart. Show me my sin so that I can walk worthy of you. I do not want to be that person that somebody can say, man, I see that. And you made a great point. I'd rather have a friend come up to me and tell me, man, brother, this is what I'm seeing, instead of having God come down with the rod and tell me, this is what you see, or this is what I saw. You know, I don't want that. I would rather have a faithful brother call me out on something that they know or see or have inkling of in my life so that I can then inspect what it is, so that I can have the fruit of the Spirit, the love, the joy, the peace, the long-suffering, and temperance. Temperance means self-control. A man who hath not rule over his own spirit is like a city broken down and without walls, as it says in Proverbs 25, and forgive me, I don't know the exact address. But if you don't have rule over your own spirit, you will not seek those spiritual things. You won't seek that fruit of the Spirit. It's like this. A lot of us like to invite the Holy Spirit. We treat the Holy Spirit like a homeless guy at the street corner. We see him holding the sign up, hungry, need food, will whatever. So we invite him into our Escalade. And we take him to our house and we show him our great mansion and he smells the wonderful food cooking and we introduce him to our family and we show him our lovely wife and our kids and all those things and accoutrements that we've acquired. And then we take him to a door that we open up this door and we walk downstairs into the basement and we pull the little string on the light and there's a washer and a dryer and a water heater and there's a cardboard box on the floor with a pillow. And we say, okay, Holy Spirit, there you go. And then we walk back upstairs. We shut off the light and we close the door. And we never interact with the Holy Spirit because we want him in our life, but we don't want him in our life. Because that Spirit will show us those things that we need to exercise out of our life to get rid of. And if you don't feed that man, you don't interact with that man, you will never understand the joys and the beauties and the things that he has to show you. The fruit of the Spirit, the fruit or the gifts of the Spirit, the love of a fellow brethren, the ability for us to be able to have interaction like this on a Saturday morning when we could be doing anything other than standing here listening to some bozo talk about the Word of God. So guys, I just want you to know that you, as a collective, have saved my family's life, have saved my life. Through what God's done in your lives, you have given me the strength to continue and to carry on and to want to do more and to not be afraid to cast the seed, be it on fertile ground, be it on ground that's going to get eaten up by birds or that's just going to burn up because the world gets too hot. None of us have got the luxury of not casting the seed. We have the seed. We have it. Every one of us has all the seed we ever need to throw. But let me just pray. Lord God, I love you so much, and I do. I thank you for today. I thank you for loving me. I thank you for loving us. I thank you for counting us worthy that, you know, while we were yet sinners and far from you, you chose to die for me, Lord. While you formed me in my mother's womb, and even before you did that, you said you were worthy. And in words and cannot describe how unworthy I am. But Lord, I am so grateful that your mercies are new every morning and that your love for me. If I confess my sin, you are faithful and just to forgive me of my sin and cleanse me from all unrighteousness, Lord. Sin is there. And if I willfully participate in it, that's when chastisement would come. But Lord, those things that I do that I know I shouldn't, just like Paul says, I do. And those things that I wish I would do, I do not. And so God, help me have the desire to do those things that are pleasing to you, that reflect well upon you. Lord, thank you for the lessons from Brenton and from the one that I listened to from Jason. Lord, and forgive me, I haven't heard all these, but Lord, thank you for allowing me to be a part to teach about long suffering, because Lord, my life has been one long suffer, but I'm not bitter about it. Lord, I'm joyful. And I want other people to see that, you know, just because suffering happens doesn't necessarily mean we can't have joy within that. And I love you and I thank you and I ask you to just please watch over us and help us. And again, with the CSA coming up and with VBS coming up and with camp coming up, Lord, everything, church in the park, you're in it all. You're of it all, Lord, and we are nothing without you. So help us be more like you and less like us. In Jesus' precious name I pray. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. Sorry it was short.